Thank you so much, Franca. That's a note I dream of hitting in my sleep. Thank you for reminding us in such a melodious and spirited way that God is indeed great. Ever so often, I think it would be good for us to simply stop and just say, God, how great you are. Before I get into the word today, I just want to make a slight correction about the virtual service for our very own Keith Thomas. It would be on Sabbath the 8th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It will be a virtual service. We'll be using this link, so you will know how to get it. And then there will be a visitation on the 3rd of August, a Monday, from 9:30 in the morning at Clara Funeral Home off of Schaefer. So we just want to give that announcement. And for those who can come, there are stipulations as to how many can come in at one time, how long you can stay. But it will be good to come and let the family members know on that day, on the 3rd, Monday the 3rd of August, from 9:30 in the morning. We'll be going to the cemetery to have an interment around 1 o'clock. But you can come in and just give your respect to the family. This morning, I want to share a word with you. And that word will come to us from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. I would like us to consider this verse, even as I share it with you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Today, we want to consider the subject, precious promises for your pilgrimage. Precious promises for your pilgrimage. Let us pray. Father, come now and speak this word through these lips of clay. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Promises. Promises. Why does God, through this prophet, gives this promise in Isaiah 41 and verse 10? Israel at this time was in a situation surrounded by heathen neighbors who were idolatrous in their worship. God is using Isaiah, when you have some time, read the preceding verses, to confront the heathen for their idolatry. But he is also confronting Israel concerning their relationship with him. So the context is God confronting the heathen for their idolatry, and God using the occasion to also confront, speak to his children about their relationship with him. When we think of the word pilgrimage, we think of a journey. But a pilgrimage is not just a journey. It's not an ordinary journey, for it is spiritual in terms of the destination. It's a long journey hoping to reach some spiritual place. If we can think down here, every year, thousands of Muslims go on a pilgrimage to Mecca, what they call the Hajj. And there, they look forward to fellowshipping with each other and renewing their spiritual commitment to God. Well, as you are traveling on this earth, we are reminded that this world is not our home. And as we are traveling, there are things that happen to us on the journey, and some of it are not good. When we think of the Christian's journey in today's context, we may think of it on what we can call a macro level, on a large scale, something that includes a number of things on a general basis. We had the Health Nugget talking about finances. I know some of you were listening and say, well, what they have on average savings, I don't even have that on any kind of saving. So we're having a journey that may include a lot of people experiencing the same thing, macro. But then there may be a journey on a micro level, on a personal level. And as we go on the journeys, on the pilgrimages, what we're experiencing sometimes may be hard for us to deal with. And so God gives us precious promises so that we can have this journey. When we think of the promises of God, they keep us. God tells us one wonderful promise: he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. On this journey, in this pilgrimage, God may say to us in terms of a promise, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one that trusteth in him. On this journey, on this pilgrimage, we may receive the promise of God that says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. On this pilgrimage, in our journey, in a moment when we may be fearful, we may be going through something that the macro people may not understand because it's personal, it's individual, it's private, we may hear God speaking to us saying, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Someone smartly said that one convert who is Chinese by descent, his name was Lo, and so when he read that verse, he took it personally. We ought to take God's word personally. God tells us that the Lord is my light and my salvation. In whom shall I fear? These are promises God gives to us on this pilgrimage to the earth made new. We are reminded that once in a hospital, an old man who had served God all his life was struggling with his memory, and he could not remember Bible verses, and he was told by an attendant, which I think was pretty smart. The man was not void of understanding. He just couldn't bring to mind the promises that he had read about. And so in his despair, he spoke to the attendant. And the attendant says, "Well, you may forget, but God never forgets." I feel good today that we serve a God that never forgets. And so his promises on this pilgrimage are things we can consider today. We want to look at this verse and deal with three things out of verse 10 in terms of God's promises to us. Before we do that, let me simply say it's interesting that Israel is cutting up. Israel is not doing right by God, and God is making promises. We ought to be in awe when we think of the God we serve. That even when we are not deserving, even when we are not doing the things he asks us to do, he can still give us precious promises. I'm reminded that one asked, "Well, what kind of a God who will do good things for people who are doing bad things?" Well, God is not easy to figure out. We must not apply human logic to the God we serve. He doesn't think like us. Truth is, if you can go back to your early Bible readings coming from the book of Genesis, and there Adam and Eve, who got everything from God, and my wife likes to remind me and on this particular point, that Adam and Eve got everything from God, and they listened to the devil who gave them nothing, just like we do sometimes. But here is the God we just can't logically determine who he is. Because when they did their thing and they were in hiding, the God who gave us the promise in Isaiah 41 is the God who went looking for them. I don't know about you, but I am in love with God because God's love for me is always there. So here is God making promises. And in Isaiah 41, he tells us, "Fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Three things about this text as we explore it today. The first of which is the promise of his presence. The promise of his presence. He says, "I will be with thee." There are people in our lives that we may think we can't live without. Truth be told, we can't live without the presence of God. When we think of God's presence, that may put us in fear. But God's presence in Isaiah 41 is to help us to be at peace 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." As we are journeying, God is saying, whatever obstacles that may be on the way, do not be afraid, because I am promising you my presence. God's presence is powerful. God's presence protects us. God's presence has the ability to drive fear away. His presence is powerful. Sometimes human beings that interact with us, it may be on the job, it may be in an organization, somebody may want to jump up as if to say, "Hey, I am powerful, and you need to cower in fear when you are in my presence." What God is saying, his presence is powerful, and if we are in him, we need not fear being in the presence of anyone else. Not only is God's presence powerful, God's presence is personal. It is personal. "Lo, I am with you," Matthew 28:20. "Lo, I am walking with you always, even unto the end of the earth." Personal is an antonym for proxy. In other words, God does not send someone else. His very presence is with us. He's not with us by proxy. He's not far away. He may be far, but yet near. I don't know about you, but I am delighted today that I am in the presence of a powerful and a personal God. God keeps it personal. That's why when we do things that are against his will, he has to take it personally. Sometimes folks say things to us and they say, "Don't take it personally." God says to me, "Listen, I am personally walking with you." I'm reminded as a young lad there in Guyana, when I started attending church, we were warned about going to the movies. And you got to bless those elders that kept us in fear. But what was just amazing is the logic they used. They said, "Every one of you has a guardian angel. And if you're going to the movies, the guardian angel walks with you, and he walks with you right up to the door of the cinema. And he stands and he waits, and you go into the movies for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 3 hours. And when you come out, then the angel continues to walk with you." What kind of a God is that? God is personal. We have the promise of his presence. It is powerful and it is personal. Not only is it powerful and personal, but watch this. God's promise of his presence is perpetual. That is, he doesn't leave us someplace until we go another place, then he picks us up again. It is perpetual. Hebrews 13:5 says, "For I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Perpetual. I don't know how this makes you feel. I hope it doesn't frighten you, because the aim is to appreciate how precious are these promises. And God's promise of his presence It's powerful. It's personal. And it's perpetual. I think that is something I would like to take to the bank. Not only God gives us the promise of his presence, but he gives us the promise of his person. My second of 3 points. He gives us the promise of his person. He tells us in Isaiah 41, "For I am thy God." The promise of his person, number one, is saying to us, when he says, "I am thy God," he's saying, "I have a personal relationship with you." It's about a relationship. Now, let me just pause for a moment. Let me speak to you as I'm speaking to me. The times when I have not been tight with my God are times where I recognize that I have not been spending time with him. It's hard to say you have a relationship with anyone and you don't spend time with that person. It's hard to say that God's promise is his person, but we don't have a relationship with him. He says, "For I am thy God." That speaks to relationship. And then he says in Isaiah 41, he says, not only "for I am thy God," the emphasis is on God, which means that if he is your God, if he is my God, then I would have not only a relationship with him, but I should come to the realization that this God with whom I have a relationship is powerful. So even when I'm on this pilgrimage, I'm reaching some roadblocks, I'm reaching some mountains that are hard to climb, I must remember that I have the promise of his presence and I have the promise of his person. And in the promise of his person, he says, "I am thy relationship, thy God. I can do anything I want." Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able," whoo, "that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us," able. That does something for me. Because in this life, we will encounter people who make promises, but they're not able, like we do ourselves. We make promises, but we just don't have the means, the resources to fulfill those promises. But I like the fact that we are told, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly." In other words, if it's here, God can go here. If it's here, God can go there. God can go exceeding above any standard or any requirement there may be. I am thankful that Isaiah is saying to us, God gives us the presence, the promise of his presence, and the promise of his person. Luke 1:37 says, "For with God, nothing is impossible." You may recall this text comes from something very significant. It's the angel talking to Mary about this pregnancy from the Holy Ghost. It's Elizabeth being pregnant, even though she were barren. Back then, it was a curse upon a woman if she couldn't bring forth children. You see, they didn't have the science then, because if there were a marriage and there were no offspring, it was always the woman's fault. We're thankful today for the science that tells us that the men may be infertile. It doesn't have to be the woman. But it was a curse for a woman not to have a child if your womb could not produce. And I say this with a lot of sensitivity, because in God's household of faith, there are wonderful marriages, husbands and wives that would love to have children, but they just can't bring forth children. We need to be very careful when we jest and we joke and we talk to these people as if something is wrong with them. But we are reminded in Luke, as they were talking about how is this possible, and you may remember, we can apply this text to Sarah and Abraham. Sarah, who laughed when she thought she was old. We need to know that once we have the promise of his person, we can have not only the relationship, but the realization that with God, all things are possible. On this pilgrimage, what are you going through that you're ready to throw your arms up in the air saying, God, I give up, because it's not happening? God reminds us today that with him, all things are possible. So now, not only do we have the promise of his presence, not only do we have the promise of his person, but let me go to the third and final point for the message today. Precious promises that God gives to us for as pilgrims as we journey. Precious promises for your pilgrimage. If you look at the text, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Not only does God give us the promise of his presence and the promise of his person, but watch this. God gives us the promise of his provision. God gives us the promise of his provision. Why do I say that? The first thing he tells us is that he will strengthen us. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. His provision. When we are weak, God provides the strength that we need to go on the journey, to keep moving, not to stop and say, God, I die of thirst. God, I can't make it anymore. He gives us the promise of his provision. It says he will strengthen us. Not only will he strengthen us, but he will support us. He will give us what we need when we need it in the exact proportions that we need it. Philippians 4:19 was used earlier this morning. But my God shall supply some of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. No, no, no. You are students of the word. The word some is not there. It says, my God will supply A-L-L, all your needs, according to his riches in glory. So not only will God, through his provision, strengthen us and also support us, but he will sustain us. He will strengthen, he will support, and he will sustain. Yesterday, I went to Sam's Club, and my wife went to Costco. I didn't know she was going there. But she called me and said, what's going on? Are we going to have food shortages? Everybody was shopping. When I went to Sam's Club, I walked in. I went to buy some oranges. Every morning, I drink freshly squeezed orange juice. Every morning, so I buy my supply. When I went in to Sam's Club on the 8 Mile, I walked in and I walked right back out. Even the self-checkout line was extremely long. I'm talking about 50 plus people in the line. So the line had to curve and bend. And we're living in a time where people are fearful and they are stocking up. But I'm saying to us, not only does God support us, but he also will sustain us. Yes, we can get some provisions. We can get some stuff. But we need to appreciate that our dependence should come on God's promises. He will sustain us. And I would like us to go to this story in that we find in this wonderful book where God is talking in 1 Samuel. Let me give the occasion of this, of these few verses. David and his men had been out fighting, and the Philistines came, raided the camp, took people captives, took all their provisions, burned some things, and David was pursuing them. And as he was pursuing them, they found an Egyptian on the way. And I want to read what it says. 1 Samuel 30, they found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. They gave him water to drink. Remember, we're talking about sustenance now. The Lord will sustain. They gave him water to drink and food to eat, sustenance, part of a cake of pressed figs and 2 cakes of raisins. He ate and was revived, for he had not eaten any food or drunk any water for 3 days and 3 nights. David asked him, who do you belong to? Hold that thought. Where do you come from? He said, I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. My master, read that word with me at home, silently or aloud. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. Well, my brothers and sisters, as I conclude this message today, I want us to appreciate that we serve a God we can call we can say, my master. It's personal. However, this master would never abandon his children. The Egyptian says, I became sick. And when I became sick, my master abandoned me. I'm here to declare today, we can take every confidence that we serve a God who does not know how to abandon his children. So the promise to us is that he will strengthen us, he will support us, and he will sustain us. Whatever we lack, Isaiah says to us, we can receive the promise of his presence. We can receive the promise of his person. And we can receive the promise of his provision. So as we go on this pilgrimage, as we journey, never mind the obstacles and the hindrances and the mountains, God's presence is with us. Lo, I am with you always. His presence is powerful. His presence is personal. And his presence is perpetual. Let us not think that we serve a God who simply abandons us when we get sick. Sick can come in the form of sin. That's a form of sickness. God came to seek and to save that which was lost. So today, my friends, consider yourself pilgrims going on a journey towards heaven. And as we're going on this journey, grab hold of the promises of God. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God's promises to pilgrims are precious. Let us hold on to them. Father in heaven, today, not just what's going on in the world on a large scale, but even on a personal scale, you're trying to confront and comfort at the same time. You don't like the kind of relationship we have with you, but you're giving us your promises that you will be present with us. You've given us your promise that you are our personal God. You wouldn't abandon us. You've given us the promise that our bread and water will be sure. Your provisions are there for us. May we continue to trust you always, remembering what you told us in Matthew. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. May God bless us as we hold on to these promises. In the precious name of Jesus, let the saints say, Amen.